All right, what's going on? Welcome to the channel. In this video, I am going to take you into a high-level conversation that I was having with eight-figure entrepreneur Ryan Pineda over on the Wealthy Way podcast, where we were breaking down the basics of business credit, how to get business credit, how to establish it, whether you are a complete startup or an existing business owner, whether you are dealing in construction, real estate, a trucking company, an agency owner. We break down the exact fundamentals that you need to be able to get business lines of credit, business credit cards, and even some no doc loans. So before I bring you over to that side, if you are a business and you are looking to get access to some business capital so that you can continue to scale your business, then hit us up over on insightinnercircle.com. I'll also leave that pinned down in the comments so that you can book a free call with my team to see if we can help you out to help you get where you want to go. Other than that, enjoy the video and I will see you on the other side.
It's one of those things where everyone needs it, right? So whether you're a doctor, a lawyer, a stay-at-home mom, you're someone making your first six figures, everyone at one point needs credit, whether you're trying to personally guarantee, you know, co-sign on a deal, or if you're trying to get a vehicle, if you're trying to get your kids, help them maybe through school.
Right.
Everyone needs it. Like as soon as you turn 18, it's a consumer nation, man. And so credit's one of those things where it's next to your social security and your phone number. It's a number that you want to get acquainted with.
Yeah. So tell me about what you guys are doing. What are you specializing in?
So over at the Inside Inner Circle, we help our clients build out not just their personal credit profiles, because that's important, but we also help them build out their business credit profiles, which is equally, if not more important, especially as you start to scale a business. As you know, you have your social security number, right? Which is essentially what you use to get personal credit on the personal side funding. And then you have your EIN, which is attached to things like your S Corp, your C Corp, your LLC. And so we help them out, whether they're a startup, which is usually easier because they haven't screwed up compared to some of my business owners, right? Not knocking you guys, but maybe the education wasn't there where they came in, and now we have to help them maybe clean things up on the business side, the structuring, and then we help them pretty much attack banks and credit unions that's going to favor their businesses, because it's not just about shotgunning a bunch of credit card applications. It's actually about knowing which credit card applications you want to go after, and then do you want to go for a BLOC? Business line of credit? Do you want to go for a term loan? Do you want to go for a business credit card? It's like weapons. And so the more weapons you have in your arsenal, the better you're able to go to war, which in this case, it's business.
Okay. So let's just take me, right? I'm a real estate investor. I need more credit to go fund my house flips, to fund marketing, to fund my business. What would you tell me is the first step?
So the first thing that we'll look at is we'll see how your business is structured. So assuming, let's just say LLC, because that's you know, one of the terms that people just know the most. It's the most common one. So we'll see, okay, do you have an LLC? We have our EIN. Do we have any business credit already established? So we'll take a look at your Dun & Bradstreet. So we'll take a look at your Paydex score, which is your Dun & Bradstreet score. Ranges from 1 to 100. So anything over an 80, it's good. We'll take a look at your Experian, Equifax, same thing. Anything
your
over
Dun
80,
one is for business, right?
Your Dun's is for your business, and that's through Dun & Bradstreet. So that's a number that you get with Dun & Bradstreet, which is the largest business credit bureau.
Okay.
And so we'll also take a look at your personal credit, because in order to actually get into the game, especially if you don't have any business credit established just yet, you want to have at least a 680 personal credit score. That's going to at least allow you to get access to some form of funding, again, whether it's a personal loan or a business loan or a business credit card of some sort.
Got it. Okay. So they're basically looking at your personal credit and your business credit when you go for business.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Especially when starting out, because there's really three pillars that banks are going to look at, especially as your business starts to grow naturally. That's going to be cash flow, that's going to be credit, and that's going to be collateral. Usually at the beginning, it's going to be cash flow or credit. And that credit is usually going to be on the personal side. Once you start to scale and you have some properties under, let's say, your business that you're holding, at that point, they can take a look at that 3C or the third C, which is going to be collateral.
Okay. So they'll look at your houses as collateral? That's what you're saying?
They can take a look at your houses as collateral. They can take a look at vehicles as collateral, assuming they're under the business name. And that's known more as secured funding. That's a bit more what we call down the road, but that is an option that a lot of business owners can tap into. They just don't know how.
Right. I mean, so let's just take a brand new student, you know, here at, you know, one of my coaching programs, right? They come in, they just start an LLC, and, you know, they need more money, right? They need more money. We always need more money, right?
Of course.
So you would advise them to, I mean, obviously tap in personally.
Mm-hmm.
That was how I got started, by the way. Most people know my story, but for those who don't, you know, this was back in 2015. I Didn't have, I had $10,000 saved up. That was all I had. And I was like, well, I need to get more money. So let me go apply for credit cards. And so there was no Irv or any of these other guys that I knew of.
Yeah.
Right. So I just went on Google. I was like, best 0% credit cards. Mm-hmm. And so I applied for literally a bunch, not only in my name, but my wife's name.
Love it.
And I didn't do any business credit because I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
And so I applied and I ended up getting about $50,000 worth of credit. And, you know, I ended up pulling all of it out with a balance transfer. Mm-hmm. I got it liquid and I just rode that credit for, you know, the 18 months that it was 0%. And then even after that, I still kept it out because I was like, well, this money is going to make me way more money than even the 18% that I'm getting charged. Like it's worth it.
Yeah.
And so I just kept my credit cards maxed out. I remember my credit was like in the 500s, literally. From just being maxed out all the time.
Utilization,
for years.
Yeah, it took a hit.
Yeah, but I was like, I'm making money. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to like get financed for a super nice house. Like, I was just concerned about building my business.
And that's the thing that a lot of people get wrong is everyone wants to chase the 825. Everyone wants to be above 835. There's really no difference that we've seen of someone that has a 775 and an 815. Like, you're not going to get cheaper money just because you have over an 800, that's going to be something that's even noticeable. In fact, usually senior citizens, I tell this to my clients all the time, jokingly, senior citizens usually have that perfect credit score, but it's because they don't even use it. The whole point of even having credit is to use it. And so 775, you're golden. 750, you're golden. It's all about the utilization. Like, if you can keep the utilization under that 20%, especially when you're going into a round of funding, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. But even then, like... What's to me, it was like, what's the goal? Like, what do I need a 700 plus credit score for? I wasn't going to buy a car. Like, I was fine with my like 2004 Toyota Tundra.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to like buy a new house. Like, we already had our house. And so I was cool with what we had. I'm like, well, let's just max out the credit cards. Who cares? I have no need for credit. As far as the credit score.
It's a vanity metric for sure. Like, the people that say, oh, I want an 800 credit score, why? Is usually the follow-up question. Why?
Yeah. Yeah, I still don't know why. I don't know that my score has ever been 800, personally.
It doesn't need to be. it doesn't need to be.
I've seen it on, I don't even check it. I have no idea. But I've seen it on occasion, like, over 700. But I honestly can't think that it's ever been over 750.
And you've still been able to get some type of funding, even on the personal side.
I've never been denied a loan.
There you go.
Now, do I get the best rates? Probably not, but like,
but you're making money and you're profitable. And that's the thing.
Right.
And so that's the other side of it of, you know, hey, once I get access to, let's say, 100K in business funding, which is usually the number that gets thrown around out there, what do I do with it? And if you're asking, what do you do with it? Then you probably have to re-question how you're running your business and what your end goal is, rather than just, again, chasing the 800 or chasing the 100K in funding.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to actually have a purpose for it. 100%. You know, if you're watching this podcast or you're in one of our programs, we've got plenty of ways you can use that thing to go make some more money. Okay, back to like first steps. So somebody comes in, they apply, you know, they're going to look at, let's just say they opened a brand new LLC. Like, are they going to get credit? Like, what's the deal there?
Yeah. So if you have a brand new LLC and if you're wondering how fast can I get credit, the answer to that is going to be yesterday, comma, caveat, right? Depending on how your personal scores are already structured. So let's say that across the board, Experian, Equifax, and TransUnion on the personal side, you have over that 680, but ideally at least 725. You're going to be able to personally guarantee your way into at least that first $50,000 in funding, $100,000 in funding for that house flip that you're looking to get into or for that startup capital. And then you'll be able to do that either through A, there's really three ways. A, it's going to be big banks. So think your tier banks, tier one banks, that's Chase, Bank of America, Wells Fargo, all the big ones that people know. Second route that you'll take is regional banks. That's maybe on the Southeast. That's banks that are only located maybe in Vegas or Cali. And then the third route is going to be credit unions, which I think it's the secret weapon that a lot of entrepreneurs need to be paying attention to.
Why?
They want to work with small businesses that are in the community. And then the other side of that is it's a much smaller competition pool that you'll get versus some of the whales that go into Wells Fargo or Bank of America or Chase that maybe are seasoning their accounts with over $2 million If I'm a brand new business, I maybe have $15,000 to my name for the startup. That credit union is saying, hey, come over here. You don't need to have the best credit score. Your business doesn't need to, you know, be running any revenue just yet, which is something we can get into.
Right.
And then again, it's a much smaller funding pool that they want to work with in order to pretty much scale that local economy with local business owners.
Right. Yeah, it's funny because I had been with Wells Fargo for a long time and they literally never did anything for me. Like, it's just
they
like,
don't.
They, yeah. There's nothing, they don't do anything different than any other bank. And then, you know, I actually had a meeting with JP Morgan, and that's the private bank. It's not Chase. And apparently, like, they recently came to Vegas, and it's like, from the sound of what they do, it's drastically different than like your traditional bank. We'll see.
The one thing that I would say with maybe a Wells Fargo is they don't do as much as they should for consumers, but they do have a low barrier of entry for maybe if you wanted to, let's say, create a business loan out of thin air. So you can create something called Common Credit, right? Common Credit allows you that once that trade line reports on the business side, if you don't have any credit at all, other banks are going to see that and they're going to say, wait a minute, there's a loan already attached to this business's LLC. So one of the ways that you can do that is Wells Fargo. It's like one of the only things that are worth it with Wells Fargo. And so you'll be able to do that through a secured CD, business CD with them. I think it's like entry is like $500, but if you really want to get juicy with it, put at least $2,500 in there or more, so that when it reports, it doesn't report as a secured business loan. It reports as an unsecured business loan. And so when other, again, banks see that, that's when you start getting those offers in the mail from them.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
They're running your credit. They're seeing, oh, Wells Fargo gave them this. We should give them some.
Exactly. Hmm. Yeah. That's why it gets easier. Like in your situation, when you first started out, you had a couple credit cards that you had to get, even though you maxed it out. But after that, you were never denied again. And it got easier. It's all about getting started.
Right. Yeah. I haven't really like pursued trying to get more credit as far as like this way. Like I've raised a lot of money. Like I'll go raise private money to go buy real estate and stuff. But I haven't raised... like tried to like really raise credit. What do you think I could get?
For something like yourself, just like personally guaranteeing it, or are we putting properties on there?
Just personally guaranteeing it.
Personally guaranteeing it, I'm sure you're running some pretty good revenue through there. You can show some tax documents.
Yeah.
At least $500,000.
So I would get $500,000 from like and a lot of sources.
And I'm being conservative. Yeah. So you can take that a few different approaches. You can do, if we're just doing the business credit side, you can do some business credit cards. You can also do some BLOCs, some business lines of credit, which I like. And then you could also do maybe some term loans.
What's the difference between all three?
So if you have, let's say, a business credit card, that's pretty much what that sounds like. It's a line of credit on a credit card that you can use. You can swipe. You can liquidate if you wanted to get the cash out, kind of like you did with the transfer. You have your business line of credit, which is similar to a credit card, but the difference is that you can actually take the funds out of the account. So let's say if someone's looking at their checking account, you have your checking, your savings, and then that business line of credit is an account that you can go into a bank and actually take money out of. So it's as good as cash. The cool thing about it that's different from a loan or a business loan is that it replenishes and you could pretty much, it's revolving. So you don't have to worry about, once I use it like a business loan, it goes away.
I get it.
You can continue.
Once you pay a loan back, it's done.
It's gone. It's good for the purposes of big purchases, and it's good for the purposes like real estate, buying vehicles for your business. And again, getting some of that common credit to report. But if my two main weapons that I always tell my clients is business lines of credit and business credit cards, because they stay on there.
I mean, they seem very similar to me. Like if you're saying you could liquidate your capital off the credit card too.
The problem with liquidating the capital off of a credit card, it gets a little bit trickier, especially if you're going through maybe pay processors.
You just gotta use like plastic or something.
You can try plastic, but the fees sometimes eat you alive. Or maybe if you go to like a third party.
I get it.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And some people do it wrong where they try to go and you know, this happens all the time where they'll try to create a separate entity and they'll try to, you know, run the credit card through that entity. Yeah. And then, oh, I liquidated 20K on it, but then all of a sudden the IRS is in that other account. It's like, hey, what's going on over here? It points back to your social. So that's why you want to be really careful, especially with what you see on social media.
So I'll say this for people who, so once again, I had never dabbled in this. There was no social media or anything. I was just a guy trying to figure out how to make some money. So when I had those credit cards, one of the first things I did was I was like, well, some of these let me like get straight cash into my bank account. Those are tight. Others, I got to like spend it, but I need the cash. I can't, you know, spend it. And so I was like, you know what? I literally just did what you said. I went on PayPal and I billed myself and I freaking, yeah. I got 10 grand that way. Yeah. And then PayPal shut me down because PayPal's like, bro, you can't do that. That's against our terms of service.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? And then just like, I realized later on you could not do that.
Yeah. And that's why. So that's why I like business lines of credit, because of that. You can pull the cash out on those and then you can get yourself into your flips.
Got it. Okay. And then, yeah, I mean, personally, like, do you see, you had mentioned earlier business could be better, but like a lot of people, I guess, shy away from personal.
They do shy away from personal. And it's one of those things where I usually go back to like the gym, right? If you're going to the gym, why would you want strong arms and weak legs and vice versa? Why would you want, you know, weak legs or weak arms, weak legs? And it's one of those things where you want to have strong personal credit. You want to have strong business credit because it's going to help you ultimately get access to more funding because banks are going to see, okay, this person's been responsible on the personal side. And that's usually a clear indicator of how they're going to be over on the business side.
What do you see happening? Like, is the credit market tightening up with the recession? How's that going?
Yes, great question. So it is tightening up. We're starting to see lenders ask for a few more docs on the business side. But that's fine. You could work around that. It's happening more so on the personal side, where some of the lines that you'd be able to get on a credit side would be like 25K. Now you'll be lucky to get maybe 10. And then even if you have the credit, a lot of them go back in and they'll do like an automatic underwrite and they'll just go ahead and drop some of your limits, which happens more on the personal side than the business side, which is why we always tell our clients, build business credit even when you don't need it, especially going into uncertain markets like 2023, where you'll turn on the channel on one side, they'll say, hey, market's going to boom. You'll turn on the channel on the other side. And, you know, that finance expert would say, hey, get ready, you know, pinch your pennies.
Yeah, that makes sense.
A lot of uncertainty in the market. I mean, what do you think?
You know, it's so hard to say. I did not think that we would get to this point of where we're at. I didn't think they would raise rates to these levels this quickly. And, you know, it sounds like they're still not done. And so I'm just like, I don't know, man. You know, I don't like what I'm seeing as far as for everyone, right? For me, I always say this to our students, like the transition's the hardest part, right? So as we transition into this new market and, you know, you got to just deal with the uncertainty. That's the hard part. But once you start coming out of the other side, that's when you're like, okay, finally we've bottomed out. Like now things are, let's roll. We know where things are headed.
Yeah.
So right now, I think right now is the hardest part for whether you're a real estate investor or, you know, even if you're in business, you're having to adjust now. Because people are, like you said, going to be tighter with money. There's going to be less, you know, things happening, less transactions overall. So, you know, I just think it's hard to say what's actually going to happen. Now, if you ask me about the real estate market, I do not foresee it like crashing by any means.
No, me either.
No, I see it continuing to just slowly, you know, kind of go down and then eventually flatline. And then, you know, once they lower rates again, because they're going to have to at some point, then I see it just starting to go
back up again. Yeah, same thing. Yeah. Even over there in Orlando, like the market's still, you look at some properties and they're just still holding value. So that $600,000 house as of yesterday was like 625. So it's still going up.
Yeah, and every market's different. Like at the end of the day, the thing is, if you would have bought stocks or crypto 6 months ago, 12 months ago, you know, they're down.
Yeah.
Like a lot.
Yeah.
Some of the best companies in the world are down 50%.
Yeah.
70%, right? Bitcoin's down, you know, 70% from its peak. Like, you know, it's just, they haven't really held. But real estate, even though, right now it's slow, I'm glad my money was in real estate.
Yeah.
Versus those things.
Crypto. Yeah. I mean, and even then in uncertain markets, whoever knows how to make money, whoever has a game plan behind it, they're going to be able to make money regardless of where the market is.
Right.
Especially in a down market because there's more people exiting the market. So now there's more market share.
Yeah. I mean, I always tell people like, dude, this is such a big opportunity to go out and get better employees because companies are going to be laying people off. This is a great opportunity to get deals. It's a great opportunity to, you know, for us in 2023, we're going to acquire companies. Great time to do that.
I'm in that. So whether somebody's a startup, I think, what was the number on it? Like 5 million, right? I'm having in front of people like 5 million new startups. like brand new businesses in 2022 alone, mm-hmm. and counting, right? Not including some of the mergers, not including some of the people that are already in business, which it's exciting, man. I think, you know, yeah, 2020, you know, things happened, but I think a lot of people realize that one source of income is too close to none.
Mm. Yeah, it could be wiped out tomorrow.
It could be wiped out tomorrow.
Right. So is there anything else people really should know about credit?
The main thing, like on the personal side or business side?
Either.
If you're looking at it from, so going back to the example of if I'm a startup and you're thinking to yourself, okay, I don't have any capital just yet. Are there some options for me? So if you're listening to this, the answer is going to be yes, especially for your students that are listening to this. You can go out and there's going to be three options. You can either get yourself a no doc loan, a low doc loan, or a full doc loan. We'll break those down. So a full doc loan, that's typically when they ask for, you know, your LLC, your EIN, your articles of organization, and at least 2 years of tax returns. Usually on that, you can get over $250,000 or more in a business loan. The second option that you'll have is a low doc loan. And usually on those, they only ask you for a year of tax returns. And then on the no doc loan, that's no tax returns at all. Typically just bank statements, 2 months, right? Now, if you're not running any revenue just yet through your business with the no doc, you can go ahead and just personally guarantee it. The only caveat to that is you'll be capped out at 50K, but that's 50K that you're able to get without any tax documents, with a brand new LLC, brand new EIN, and a brand new business bank account.
Mm. So, I mean, for a guy like me, right, I got my docs, like, you know, when you say it's a loan, that means that I get it, and the moment I pay it back, it's gone, right?
Yes, it's gone.
Is it like an SBA loan? Like, what am I getting?
SBA loans are different. These are loans directly at the banks.
Okay.
And so, again, usually credit unions offer these, so, or even smaller banks. So,
what would the years be, the rates? How's that work?
So on those, you can usually get like a 5-year term, and the rates on that go anywhere from 5 to about 15%, depending on where your credit is. Again, both on the personal side and if you have some form of business credit, because it
helps. Is it amortized over 5 years, or is it just interest only?
It's amortized. Yeah.
Dang. So 250, your payment would be pretty large.
On what? On a...
On a 5-year loan.
Yeah.
Yeah. What would your payment be on that?
That wouldn't be like... So that'd
be like $5,000. $5,000 a month.
And that's the type of capital that you'd get to kind of go and work your way into a deal, assuming you don't have any JVs, assuming you don't have any partners. Again, just to kind of get your feet wet. If you wanted to take the credit route, you can do the 0% credit cards. You just have to find the way to liquidate them, which we know how to do them. But again, you have to do it right in a way that you don't shut down your company.
Yeah, like I did. Don't just sell to yourself on PayPal.
Don't just sell to yourself on PayPal, to your other companies. That's a big no-no.
Yeah, right. So how does it work with you guys? Do you just take a percentage of the credit you raise, or like what? How does that work?
Yeah, so on those, we show our clients from A to Z how to do it.
So they do it. You guys don't do it.
Yeah, we structure for them how to do it. So one of the reasons why we did it this way is just transparently, you know, being transparent, is I just didn't want to deal with the headaches of having to go in there, you know, having to get power of attorneys so that we can go in there and do all the funding, go to the banks and apply for our clients. So what we did was, hey, this is the exact process that we do. These are the relationship managers that we do business with. We're going to introduce you to them. And this is the exact process. These are the cards that we would go for given your business. These are the loans we would go for given your business. This is what we would clean up on your business. So maybe if your business is in a high industry or a high risk industry, we'd say, hey, you may want to change it from, we just did this last week. We had a client, couldn't get funding. He was able to get $125,000. He was in trucking, but his LLC had the name Trucking in it. So it was like ABC Trucking. That's going to raise a red flag with the lenders. So we said,
they don't
like
trucking?
They don't like trucking. We had him change it to logistics. And so when we had him change to logistics, because it's more broad, he was able to tap into that capital.
Wow. I'm surprised. Trucking's like, seems pretty safe to me.
You'd think it would, but logistics, it's more generic. And so the more generic a name could be, like having real estate on an LLC as well, that can also raise a red flag. And so it's better to just have it, let's say, example, Ryan Pineda Enterprises.
Right.
As an example, you can take that route, especially when you're starting out. Obviously, when you're some of the bigger dogs, that doesn't matter as much. But when you're starting out, you're trying to bend the rules as much as you can.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I've thought about that. I remember when I was really trying to do this, like when I was first getting started, yeah, I would always come up there like, yeah, we don't really like house flipping. It's pretty risky. And that's, I'm like, why? Yeah, you know, it is pretty risky.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're in real estate, for everyone that's listening to this, which is, I'm sure it's a large audience on the real estate side, management's going to be the go-to with real estate. You can do consulting, but we like management. So consulting and management and logistics tend to be.
But you would still keep real estate out of it.
You would still keep real estate out of it.
I'd be like Pineda Management.
Pineda Management, Pineda Consulting, Pineda Logistics. So for e-commerce, Pineda Logistics. We're not doing Pineda e-commerce. E-commerce is another one. Why do you think so many Stripe accounts get shut down when they run it through like e-commerce usually gets shut down through Stripe because Stripe doesn't like the high risk.
What about e-learning? Do they like
No, that's fine because that goes back to consulting.
I'm sure they don't like NFTs.
No. If you do a financial advisor investments, that'll get you flagged for sure.
Financial advisor will get you flagged too?
Yeah.
What are the industries that are okay?
Consulting.
Okay.
That's consulting, management, logistics.
So everyone's a consultant, a manager, logistics.
Because management is one of those things where it's like an umbrella, right? So there's 32 subcategories like in the NAICS with real estate. You'll have an NAICS code for real estate appraiser. You have one for land developer, which is terrible.
One would be risky.
That one is awful. You'll have one for real estate agent, real estate broker. You have one from real estate surveyor, real estate management. Real estate property management is the go-to.
Property management, safe.
Safe.
They like it.
They love it. Yeah, they love it. And again, take it to a credit union. You can do the big banks, especially if you already have a relationship with the bigger bank, like a Chase, Bank of America. But your smaller banks is definitely the go-to.
Got it. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, you're talking about getting big loans with these people. How big of credit lines can you get? Because that seems to me like the best option, right?
On like loans, lines, or just everything put together?
Well, I'm just saying credit lines would be like the simplest, right?
Like credit cards is the simplest. That's usually where everyone starts. So term that's usually out there is like credit stacking.
Yeah.
Right. That just means that you get a bunch of credit cards, you know, five or six. You have a stack of them through applications that you fill out. That's one of the methods. But then we also have additional funding frameworks in the inner circle where if you, let's say, wanted three business credit cards as 0%. So see those kind of like your Swiss Army knife at, let's say, $25K a pop. That's $75,000 right there. We would now work our way into, okay, how can we get some BLOCs? So we had a client, he had only been in business for a year. He went to PNC Bank. It's a regional bank for you guys checking this out. And he was able to get $100,000 of a business line of credit, not including what he had already on business credit cards.
Right.
And so all they asked for was 1 year tax returns?
Okay.
Because the common misnomer is, oh, I need to be in business for 5 years. I need to have crazy cash flow. I need to have 50 employees. You just got to be set up right.
Right.
You have it set up right. You have the LLC, you have the EIN, articles of organization in your business bank account. And your personal credit 680 or higher, you can do some damage.
That makes sense. Is there anything else to really know?
I would say that's it. I mean, if you're not there just yet and you're trying to maybe clean your personal credit, obviously you want to get it to a place where, you know, it's feasible for the bank to want to do business with you.
How do you clean up your personal credit?
Yeah, so I was gonna go there. So if the first place that you'd want to start is you want to take a look at all of your information on your personal credit profile. So you want to print out, I'm old school, right? We'll print them out because we want to highlight, print out a copy of your Experian report, of your TransUnion report, and of your Equifax report. Those are the all three personal credit bureaus. And then you want to see, okay, is there any information on here that's not matching? So that'll be my name. That'll be my last name. That'll be my address. You want to get all of your credit reports matching where you have one name, one address, one employer, and one phone number on there. You then go in and you suppress what's the secondary bureaus. A lot of people don't know this. They think it's just the main bureaus. So you have the secondary bureaus, which is CoreLogic. So if you're trying to get rid of an eviction, it's going to be over at CoreLogic because that's who's hosting all of your real estate data. If you've been arrested, if you have any criminal records, right. If you have any evictions, foreclosures, and then you want to pretty much suppress that by going on their website, pretty much saying, hey, I don't want you guys giving my information off to the credit bureaus. You would do that with SageStream. And then you want to do that with ARS. So that's just a simple way. At that point, once you get that back, you've suppressed that, you then start to send out dispute letters.
And the dispute letters are what gets everything removed.
Dispute letters what gets everything removed because you're using the FCRA, Fair Credit Reporting Act, to your advantage. We're protected as consumers. And so as long as you know, as long as you're checking out Section 609, you're fine.
I've seen a lot of people who clean up your credit. Like, what's that typically cost? I don't want to do it. I don't have time to write dispute letters.
So it depends. It can vary from a $500 flat fee. Some people do a subscription model, $97 a month, like a Lexington Law. I mean, you can charge flat fee $2,500 bucks.
Yeah, and they'll just, you'll clean up everything.
Yeah, they'll go in there, they'll remove the inquiries, they'll remove the collections, charge-offs, you know, any.
So that would just help raise negative. My credit scores.
Yeah. So the main thing is, as you're removing a negative, you want to add a positive. So if I'm removing a collection, I'm adding a personal credit card, or I'm having someone add me as an authorized user. So let's say mom, dad, sibling, wife has better credit than us. We'll have them add us as an authorized user, and that history, so let's say American Express, backdates it. And so now it'll look like you've had, as an authorized user on that account, maybe 15 years of history.
Right.
That's one of the ways that I first started building my personal credit was with my dad. He added me to his Bank of America personal credit card, AmeriCard, and it gave me maybe 125-point boost because I was already taking things off of our credit.
Right.
And so having that, if you looked at my credit report at the time, it would say like 8 years on there. And that was like the first line that was on there.
You know, I've heard of people like buying LLCs so that they could get credit from them. Like, is that a thing?
Yeah. So that's H Corps. So you have H Corps and Shelf Corps. You can do that. However, if someone is selling you, let's say, a Shelf Corp or an H Corp with credit lines or financials already attached to it, that right there is a scam. So you want to run.
They're just trying to sell it to you, and then when you get it, it's just not true.
So really think about this. If somebody sold you a 5-year-old LLC with maybe $100,000 attached to it in lines of credit, why would they, again, market value, sell it for $5K? It would be worth way more than that. And so the legitimate
way, you're saying they could just max it out and not pay it. Is that like what would happen?
It can. They can come in with UCC filings. And so UCC filings get attached with that's like liens on a business.
Right.
So UCC filings get attached on some of those LLCs, and you don't even know it if you're not doing your due diligence. It's similar to checking a title on a house. If you're not taking liens, you're not checking the super liens, UCC filings on the LLC can cost you a fortune, even if it's on your main business, which happens all the time as well.
So, I mean, like, what's the thing with these guys? Because, you know, in my mind, they're like, well, you know, if you get one of these LLCs, it's already got credit. It's not on your credit or anything, so you can just go max it out and not pay it back. Like, that's what these guys have said.
Yeah, so that's I'd run.
Yeah,
I'd run far and I'd run fast. If it already comes with credit, remember, the clock is going to start back again the minute that transfers over to your side. And Dun & Bradstreet, again, remember, the largest business credit bureau, when you establish it as your new business, that clock now says, okay, hey, this bank account or this business rather, this LLC is now, let's say, December 15th, 2022. It's Ryan's now. The clock restarts. The golden ticket is going to be the business bank account. That's usually where the clock starts. So yes, LLC age matters, but you still want that business bank account. This is why I always tell our clients, hey, even if you don't have cash flow just yet, get the business account going.
That makes sense. So what's the benefit then of buying an age LLC, but it doesn't have, you know, credit, right?
If it has just the age behind it and you wanted to maybe link it to the business account that you already have, that's a completely separate conversation, because at that point you're building it out from scratch versus it coming with credit already on it, which is like the scam.
Right, but why would you buy one of those age ones? Just to get better history? You'll get more credit?
You get the history. Yeah, at that point you get the history. And then if you're already running some type of revenue through your business, you just need something that's a bit more aged. Or if you're planning on going into maybe government contracts, we have some clients that did this. For government contracts to land some of the bigger deals, you need at least 2 years on the LLC age.
Got it.
At that point, that's when it would already make sense to get yourself an LLC. Again, with no credit attached to it. We're just getting the age. We're making sure that there's no UCC filings on it, no liens and no prior debts. That would be the only time. Other than that, once you get it, that's when you go out, you open up the business bank account, you go out and you start applying for business credit cards, you go out and you start applying for maybe terms. So at that point, net 30s, net 60s, net 40s, which we haven't even talked about, but that's a completely separate conversation because that's more of the corporate credit side.
What is it?
So on the corporate credit side, that's when you're mainly getting, so backtrack, business credit, right, is usually when you are personally guaranteeing it. You're using your own personal credit in order to pretty much co-sign on behalf of your business, right? Corporate credit, that's when it's strictly off of the EIN. So at that point, you're going out and you're getting vehicles under your business's name through your business credit because you've built out the trade line. So it's usually 4 to 5 net 30s. So net 30s means that you have 30 days from the day that you were invoiced by maybe a vendor to make that payment. That then gets reported over to Experian, Equifax, and Dun & Bradstreet. And that's how you start building out your business credit side.
Right. Yeah, I know that. So we have like a bunch of business credit cards, right? Because we need them to operate and keep our books correct and everything. But I know we were applying for, like, I now remember seeing the email from American Express, like applying for corporate credit too.
Yeah.
And so you're saying that's different.
Corporate credit with, and it varies by bank, that usually starts at right around about $2 million revenue.
Yeah.
At that point, you don't need to personally guarantee, because at that point, the business is running.
And that's what I know they were applying for now. Most
people potentially listening to this are going to fall on the business credit side.
So the corporate side is, I'm not personally guaranteeing it, so.
You're not personally guaranteeing it. Yeah. So that's when you see some of these people that walk away from Wall Street with these big businesses that go under. How is this person coming back out and starting a new business tomorrow? That's why.
Yeah, it didn't affect this person.
It didn't affect this person.
Yeah, and I mean, look, that's just how it is as you go into bigger deals, right?
Yeah.
When we go into trying to do these big multifamily deals, we're trying to not have a personal guarantee on it, like at least at some point, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's how most people operate.
You can usually make the personal guarantee go away if you're, again, if you're a business credit and your personal credit isn't that strong just yet, you can make it go away with some cash. More money in.
More money down on
more
stuff.
More money in. You could usually do that with gas cards. So if you're trying to build out, again, your business credit profile, so you'll get yourself like a Shell. I like Shell gas cards, right? They're everywhere. And so if maybe your business credit isn't established just yet, sometimes they'll want you to personally guarantee. But one of the ways you can make it go away is you say, hey, $500 deposit, it's now only going on the EIN. Now, if you're wondering, okay, why in the world would I want a gas card? I'm not a trucker. I'm not always on the road that much. You still use it even as a business owner because you could take deductions on it. But more importantly, those gas cards graduate into unsecured business credit cards. And so if it's a $10,000 gas card that I can only use at the pump in the next 6 months, I'll graduate into an unsecured $10,000 card or higher that I can use anywhere. And now I can put it back toward my deals.
That makes sense. Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, raising capital is raising capital.
Yep.
Like I always tell people this. It's like credit cards have a negative connotation just because I think our parents always told us like credit cards are bad. At least mine did. And credit cards did get my parents in trouble. That's what made them go bankrupt.
Yeah.
So my grandma always was like, you know, a big Dave Ramsey advocate and stuff. And I'm like, dude, credit cards are good. Help me get where I'm at, right? And I just don't see them being any different than whether I get a mortgage that's, you know, going to be very costly, whether I get a hard money loan that's got a hard, you know, high interest rate, whether I go get a personal line of credit, where I go get a HELOC, whether I get private money from an invest, like, you know, they're all forms of debt that I need to pay back. They got different interest rates. They got different, you know, ways I can get the money and terms. But at the end of the day, debt is debt.
Debt is debt.
So there you have it. If you found value in this content, consider hitting that subscribe button down below so that you don't miss a beat every time we have a brand new video getting released. And again, if you are a business owner who's looking to get access to some business credit lines, go ahead and check out insideinnercircle.com. Book a call with us to see how we can help. Other than that, I appreciate you watching. Till next time, everyone, I will see you in the next video.